This morning, I thought I was going to talk all about anger, and it turns out that I'm going to talk more about fear than anything else. And so I'd like to begin and offer you a poem by Joy Harjo called I Give You Back, a poem to get rid of fear. I release you, my beautiful and terrible fear. I release you. You are my beloved and hated twin, but now I don't know you as myself. I release you with all the pain I would know at the death of my own children. You are not my blood anymore. I give you back to those who stole the food from our plates when we were starving. I release you, fear. Because you were born as I was born, with eyes that can never close. I release you. I release you. I release you. I am not afraid to be angry. I am not afraid to rejoice. I am not afraid to be hungry. I am not afraid to be full. I am not afraid to be black. I am not afraid to be white. I am not afraid to be hated. I am not afraid to be loved. To be loved. To be loved, fear. Oh, you have choked me, but I gave you the leash. You have gutted me, but I gave you the knife. You have devoured me, but I laid myself across the fire. I take myself back, fear. You are not my shadow any longer. I won't hold you in my hands, in my eyes, in my ears, my voice, my belly, or in my heart. In my heart, my heart, my heart. Come here, fear. I am alive. And you are so afraid of dying. I've been rereading this poem for years, and it never ceases to amaze me in its rawness and the potential to teach me something new about myself and about how I see the world. I realize that for me, both anger and fear are so intertwined, so interconnected. I wonder, are they interchangeable at some point? What comes first? Am I in control of my feelings all the time? How do I take myself back from fear and anger? And is anger ever a good thing? What does anger feel like to you? Anybody? Raw, white hot, shrinking, bitter, tiring.
It's an occupation, it just takes us over.
It takes us over.
Toxic.
Passing storm.
Passing storm. Justified sometimes.
Scary.
Scary.
Invigorating.
Invigorating.
Consuming.
Consuming.
Brief.
Brief. Hopefully.
Neurotic.
Erratic and neurotic.
Irrational.
Irrational.
Seductive.
Seductive. Hurtful.
Blinding.
Say that again.
Blinding.
Yes.
Ignorant.
Powerful.
Powerful.
Weak.
Painful.
Confirming of self-worth.
Shaming.
Destructive.
Obliterating.
Righteous.
Self-centered.
Slippery.
Hateful.
Isolating.
Let me tell you what anger feels like to me. I am afraid of anger. At the same time, I freeze and I want to run. I want to run to safety. I don't know what to do when someone yells at me. I grew up in a family of all women, all very strong, but very soft-spoken. As a girl, I was socialized to be nice. Sound familiar? In my church, I was taught to turn the other cheek. As an adult, I learned that verbal and emotional abuse had no gender and remaining scars in the soul. I've done much healing work, and yet sometimes certain words or a tone of voice can trigger those memories, set me back, leave me trembling. And while I'm not one to respond to anger with anger, it still keeps me awake. I feel it in my body. It's coursing through my blood. It changes my heartbeat. It makes my breathing different. It feels shallow. It feels like everything turns into a lump that is lodged in my throat, robbing me of my peace of mind. I try to turn to meditation, to readings about the uses of anger, to rituals that encourage forgiveness, moving on, to mindfulness practice to continue healing, to understand the connection between anger and fear, fear and compassion, and to practice atonement and forgiveness. Speaking of anger and forgiveness, my minister back in Cambridge, Fred Small, taught me that building the beloved community is hard and exhausting work. You know that. That we have to be careful how we treat each other. We have to be mindful of our words, because otherwise we will hurt each other. Parker Palmer writes that community is not a utopian garden, but a place of promise and discipline. Promise and discipline. We find that place where we can share our passion for the struggle toward social justice, where we can together right some wrong, be of service, make a difference in the world. We come with open hearts, and then we really discover each other. We discover our beautiful, imperfect human selves. And we learn that community will not always be safe, that we will be offended, that we will be misunderstood, and that the only way to remain in community is to forgive. Now, forgiving is not the same as putting up with disrespect and abuse, not at all. It means that we are continually willing to forgive the other person for not fulfilling all of our needs. As with any relationship, our congregations are filled with disappointment and frustrations. We arrive seeking connection. We arrived inspired to work for the greater good. We arrive with the intention of building this beloved community. And then people, we act like jerks, which is to say, we act like the humans, the imperfect, beautiful human beings that we are. We get angry at each other. We harbor resentment. We can't let go of anger. Well, welcome to the messy reality of being human
and building the beloved community. You are in the right place.
Anger, writes Audre Lorde, is her response to racism. She says, I have lived with that anger, ignoring it, feeding upon it, learning to use it before it laid my visions to waste for most of my life. Once I did it in silence, afraid of the weight. My fear of anger taught me nothing. Your fear of anger will teach you nothing also, she said. We have a well-stocked arsenal of anger that, if focused with precision, can be useful against oppression. Anger, she writes, is filled with information and energy and can bring about change and transformation and can be translated into action in the service of our vision. When we turn from anger, we turn from insight. And she ends with, I have suckled the wolf's lips of anger and I have used it for illumination, for laughter, for protection, for fire in places where there was no light, no food, no sisters, no quarter, end quote. In my 30s, I struggled with trying to fit into a new community as a queer person of color within the feminist movement. When women of color expressed anger at the racism permeating the feminist movement, it was not okay to be angry. It was also the time of the AIDS epidemic, and even within that movement, we were asked to tone it down, build bridges, using our own backs. And I learned that there was a price to pay for expressing anger: marginalization within an already marginalized community, isolation, being labeled troublemaker, not enlightened, not evolved. Now, I struggle with my Buddhist practice. I struggle with Buddhist teachings that leave out the painful experiences of people of color and that do not go beyond the message of getting rid of that anger. I know many of us struggle. Is there a right and wrong way to be angry? Can we confront the anger demon and benefit from transforming anger into wisdom and compassion? How do you do that? Many of us seek refuge from the violence around us by practicing mindfulness. We practice becoming aware of our breath, pausing to quiet our minds as we hear the echoes of Eric Garner's plea, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. How can we respond to the call to dismantle racist systems and institutions if we are just sitting there monitoring our breath? Can Buddhism as a spiritual practice be instrumental in our journey towards building Dr. King's beloved community? Buddhist philosophy states that ultimately there is neither black nor white, that these are just constructions of the mind. And yet we recognize that there is a legacy of slavery in the United States and that racism is woven into the fabric of society and that it is very real indeed. It's not just about sitting together in meditation and magically achieving equanimity, inner peace, nirvana. Quieting the mind can serve to create awareness about feelings that bubble up when we intentionally examine the effects of structural racism. Quieting the mind allows for compassion to arise and for us to feel interconnected. It is overwhelming, and we desperately pray for peace, for justice, while we struggle with feelings of anger, of righteous indignation. Dr. King taught us that true peace is not merely the absence of war. It is the presence of some positive force. It is the presence of justice. It is the presence and the practice of goodwill. Dr. King recognized that at the center of nonviolence stands
the principle of love. He taught us that in struggling for human dignity, the oppressed people of the world must now not allow themselves to become bitter or indulge in hate campaigns. That the aftermath of nonviolence is the creation of the beloved community. I've had a really hard time understanding this, especially during this presidential election. I have seen the posts on Facebook. I have heard colleagues struggle with telling their story of emotional, verbal, and physical abuse. Words matter. Words can hurt. That locker room talk really opened up doors that for me were closed for many years. To have to face anger, to have to be triggered by that through media, is really difficult. And there are people all over the country remembering the words, remembering the attempts, remembering how they fought back, remembering. So I keep on trying to meditate, and I keep going back to my readings and my breathing, and trying to understand anger, and trying to pet it like a feral cat. Audre Lorde helps me to understand anger when she distinguishes it from hatred. She says, "Hatred is the fury of those who do not share our goals, and its object is death. Anger is a grief of distortions between peers, and its object is change." Anger is grief. It implies peers meeting upon a common basis to examine difference and to alter those distortions which history has created around our difference. For it is those distortions which separate us. Anger is distorted reality. Buddhist teachers identify anger as part of the poison tree and one of the causes of suffering. We are taught that anger is fueled by the impulse to reject, to push away, and to destroy, and that we respond to anger either by suppressing it or by acting out. When we stop and focus on our breath, like Buddha Bull, we can consider our feelings and pay attention to our anger. Rather than suppressing it, we bring it to the surface. We become aware of it. Anger rises in the mind and spreads through the body, triggering scenarios filled with blaming, shaming, and hurting others. Tibetan Buddhism recognizes that the flip side of anger is wisdom. It is the signal that tells us when something is wrong, when something needs to be addressed and help us move forward towards change and transformation. Anger can actually interrupt our apathy and help us to take action in the face of injustice. Anger moves us spiritually to connect with both heartbreak and courage. Anger can make us aware of harsh realities and our potential for bringing about change and, most of all, potential for continued healing. But we must pay attention to our speech. Thich Nhat Hanh says, "Speaking honestly is necessary. Speaking the truth in a loving way is also necessary." We must use loving speech even when we are communicating disagreement and differences. We must be lovingly honest and discipline ourselves to speak in a manner that conveys respect, gentleness, and humility, he says. Anger has the potential for a shift in our consciousness. And the Buddhists use a lesson that is called rain to confront anger. The R is for recognize. Just recognize. I am angry. So, this is what it feels like to be angry. The A is for accept. There is nothing wrong with anger. It is a natural response. Pushing away anger will only make it fester. The I in rain is for investigate, get curious. Why am I feeling this way? Where in my body do I feel it? What am I believing about that person? And the N in rain is not identifying. That's the really hard part for me. To say to myself, I am not that anger. I am more than these thoughts. Now I can usually deal with recognizing, accepting, even investigating a little bit. But when it comes to not identifying, I have a real challenge and I need to practice. And most of us struggle with transforming anger into something constructive, right? We have far more practice in avoiding, deflecting, or redirecting it at each other. We get stuck when we hold on to anger rather than exploring its dynamic nature as a catalyst for social justice and peace. Being stuck with anger, being stuck with fear, being stuck with resentment drags us down, diminishes our inner light, becomes an obstacle to building the beloved community. Letting go requires atonement and forgiveness. And this week, I relied on the Jewish ritual of Yom Kippur to help me forgive myself and others. Yom Kippur means Day of Atonement. It is a time to dedicate mind, body, and soul to reconciliation with God, our fellow human beings, and ourselves. It includes fasting, prayer, confession, atonement, and forgiveness. The people turn to those they have wronged and acknowledge their mistakes and the pain they may have caused. The people must be willing to forgive and let go of feelings of resentment. During Yom Kippur, the people are both seekers and givers of pardon. They reflect about the shortness of life, about their own mortality, and ask for forgiveness, for a second chance before it's too late. During the ritual, the people recognize in advance that as much as they want to change their ways, they might be weak. They might not be able to live up to their promises, but they express their desire to do so, just like we did when we read our covenant. And when they stray from the path, when they miss the mark, there is a way back. This returning is called teshuvah. Teshuva is voicing our misdeeds. I am not the person I or you thought I was. I am flawed. I am sorry. Forgive me. I made a mistake. What can I do? Teshuva liberates and gives hope. Rabbi Richard Levi teaches us that we are flawed human beings, and that when we lose our path or miss the mark, we can change our way. We can return to the proper path, and that we will be welcome into community wholehearted once again. And that is the promise that we make here at Star King Church. Return, return again and again to community. You will be welcome wholeheartedly. Beloveds, we are here together as a community of faith, bound by a covenant that guides us on the path on this shared journey. Along the way, we have made mistakes. We have experienced frustration and disappointment. We will miss the mark and hurt each other. Let us today recommit to our covenant of good relations. Let us return in loving kindness. May we allow anger to surface and manifest itself so that we can flip it on its side and extract wisdom. This is the gift that is always accessible to us. Within us, we have the power to transform our words, to transform our deeds, to transform ourselves. When we are frightened or angry or both, let us speak the truth in love. When we are frightened, may we reassure each other. When we are angry, may we still embrace each other. When we miss the mark, may we show each other compassion. May we find here in this place, in this community of promise and discipline, people always willing to forgive and to return to this community wholehearted. And beloveds, when you face anger, let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain in your soul. Amen. Ashe, and blessed be.